You are now listening to FMB Radio.
It's hard out there, but
can we say that?
We can say technically anything. We can say welcome to FMB Radio. My name is Lindsay Collins, and I'm your host. I'd like to welcome Nikki Fearman to the show.
Lindsay.
Hi.
Hey, girl.
What's up?
It would be my distinct pleasure to welcome Philip Michael Cohen to the show.
I'm getting hot. I'm warming up.
Just getting sweaty.
Should I turn the air down?
I think it's, it's like exciting anxiety warmth that's going on.
I think it's because we're sitting so close together because we're sharing a microphone because we have two guests today, which is unusual lately on the podcast. But it's the dynamic duo behind Graft. It's Miles White and Femi. Femi, how do you say your last name?
My last name is Oyedjiro.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Good.
Yeah. Oh, you're drunk.
Oh, you're drunk.
Yeah,
look
at that. Nailed it. Are you drunk?
Femi, are you drunk?
Femi, let me smell your breath.
Exactly.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Thank you so much for being here. Thank you for having us.
Oh, my God. No, it's you're all the rage right now. So how could we not? You're the hot new thing.
The hot new thing.
It's actually been great that FMB headquarters opened up at the same time.
That like makes me think of like Millie Vanilli.
Listen, you got the right stuff. And I it up. But anyway,
I was like, is that Millie Vanilli?
Listen, yeah. You don't test my Millie Vanilli knowledge. I can't know everything.
Lip-syncing duo. They were awesome.
Yes. Yeah. Well, all I know is that your shop is amazing.
Thank you.
Shop/bar, but you want to call it a shop, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Emphasis on shop, not on bar, but you can get drunk there.
That's definitely a possibility.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, sure. Especially if Miles White's porn.
No, and it's a special day for us because this is the first podcast that we've done live in F&B headquarters where we have a studio audience. So hi, I want to say hi to the audience too. Hi, guys.
Do you hear them? Did you hear? There's like 27 people here.
It's a packed house, and it feels weird. Let me tell you.
And all those people are just waiting at the door.
I didn't even want to acknowledge them.
And I hear you're giving away Volvos to everyone that's here today.
Yeah,
so
that's part of it.
You get a Volvo.
Oh my God, that's so nice. Thank you guys for being here and supporting the show in real life. And thanks for getting,
We've been planning this for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. Femi,
we've been talking about it for years.
We have been planning this for a long time since Miles White and I worked together at FIG. And it was always like, when is Graft opening was like the big question on everyone's mind, right? Like,
yeah.
It took a while.
Yes, it took a long time.
Everything in Charleston takes forever, though.
Yeah, why? What takes so long? What were the hurdles of opening a place like Graft? And because I know that you guys have been pretty open about the fact that it took longer than expected, right?
Exactly, for sure. Yeah. I mean, a bunch of things. Probably the biggest holdup was that we kind of changed locations at some point.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
What was going to be the original?
We were originally going to be in the cigar factory.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Over there on East Bay.
And we got like some lease and we went through it and it was like, because you look around your neighbors and it's like everyone is a big multi-location company.
Yeah.
And we're like, hey, we're going to come start a small business in here. And we're going through the lease and I mean, there was nothing bad about the lease. It was just something that we couldn't do.
Right. Exactly. So yeah, that had been something we'd been entertaining for a long time.
But we got really excited about it.
Yeah. And we stepped out at the last minute.
Because we didn't know at that point, we didn't know there were any other shops opening up. We're like, it doesn't matter where we are.
And by the time we found out was when we stepped away from the cigar factory. Yeah. We're like, oh man,
we'd like find another location
and we'd find out about all these new things, which is cool, but
But it's kind of
you mean other wine shops opening?
Or other wine stuff.
Other wine
just
stuff.
Anything wine related. Because we had the same vision the entire time, but if we were like cigar factory, like, okay, it's easy to get to from anywhere.
Yeah.
And if it's the
there's
only
plenty of parking.
And
parking.
If it's the only one, then it's going to be busy all the time.
It also seems like In Charleston, at least right now, that if you're going to start a business and, you know, you're looking for a location, it's like buying a house or something. Like, you got to go quick. Everything just like, oh, it's available. Oh, and it's booked.
Femi and I were convinced after the cigar factory, we're like, they're not going to find anything. Like
That was the only spot.
That was
we'll
the
never
only
find
one.
Place we looked around. We looked around and we found some other cool stuff, but they were like, I mean, it wasn't even anywhere near. It's like a fraction.
Well, it ended up being very, very cool from what I can see. I'm coming there today after the show, but the space looks incredible. And I think, you know, it's probably hindsight's 20/20, but it's perfect where you guys are because you're sandwiched on King Street between Little Jack's, Leon's, Melfi's, which is going to be opening soon.
Yeah,
like,
sure.
It's probably the coolest part of King Street.
Don't forget about Pensy, though.
Oh, that's my bad. That's on me, Market. We're going to start over. And Pancito and Lastides. There's just so many beautiful fun, cool things happening up there.
Dance FX, what's up?
Yeah.
Yes. Climbing studio. That climbing gym is on fleek.
Yeah. Let's not forget about coastal climbing. My husband walks by your place every day.
You can go to the Greek Orthodox Church. Oh, yeah, dude.
Represent Ray Street.
Yeah. If you want to like stop by Nikki's house, that's really cool.
It's really close.
Right there.
I know, because I looked and I was like, no, I'm the closest to you guys. I'm literally a block. Yeah, I'm a block away.
I live a block further than you.
That is perfect, because you can just walk right in. And so tell us a little bit, and the listeners at home, about the shop and kind of how it came about and what the vibe is. Let's go. I mean, you can do it. You can take turns.
Okay. Guys.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'll start. I had just moved back to Charleston from Oregon. I came home after heavy harvest working for the winery, and I would see my family, and I was going to move to New Orleans next, and then Femi and I have been good friends for a long time, and we had lunch one day, and we started talking about the stuff that we didn't, as we normally do. We started to bicker and like.
So we got into a huge friend fight.
It was just a friend fight.
It wasn't a friend fight. It was just like right. It's like, yeah, I feel this way, and yeah, I feel this way, and it's like, yeah, I feel this way, and it's like, I would do it this way, I would do it this way, and I was like, I want to do the same thing. And then from there, it just kind of snowballed into this project and this idea. And I was like, well, everything I want is right here. My whole family's here. All my good friends are here. The opportunity's here.
Charleston's a dream.
Yeah.
It is.
And then that was that. And then next thing we knew, we were signing a lease on King Street. But the shop itself, I think the intention all along was to build a shop. We wanted to build a bottle shop. We wanted people to come through. We basically wanted to put all of our favorite wine lists and kind of combine them together and allow people to buy retail what they would drink and what they would experience outside of going out, I guess.
Yeah, so finds, which is hard. I mean, there's so much. We, even in opening this tiny little place of headquarters, there's only so much wine that comes into Charleston. I think there's people like Dave McCarris and people who are working to get even more amazing produce, Advantage. There's bringing in stuff that hasn't been sort of allocated to this region before, and I think...
But it's definitely getting there.
It's crazy, I feel, for how small
of a market it is.
Well, like, I mean, if you kind of create, to kind of back up a little bit, you have to kind of give context to the situation, right? And, around the time where we were planning to start Graft, there weren't really a lot of options if you were a wine enthusiast to kind of go out and do your thing, right?
Right.
I mean, there are really like maybe three-ish, like four restaurants maybe in town, including, maybe like one wine bar that you could go and, entertain your wine enthusiasm or whatever. And that was kind of really frustrating for me. Someone that was, really wanted to aggressively drink wine.
Can I aggressively drink wine?
And, if I wanted to go to a wine store, it's like, oh, man. I feel like I've bought everything in the store two times.
It has to be retail. Yeah. We cannot experience the wine world in restaurants.
Right, exactly. It's like categories like Gerstenbach Riesling, which is like, Grand Cru, Riesling for in dry fashion. You'd see like a GG wine on like the Figs list and Charleston Grills list, and guests would come to the restaurant, drink one, and be like, man, where can I get this? I'm like, nowhere.
That was the thing with a lot of guests, that you would deal with, I'm sure, at Charleston Grill, and then we dealt with at Fig all the time, is people fall in love with wine. And they're like, this is delicious. Let me take a picture of the label. And I'm like, take a picture, girl. You're never going to find it again.
You can stare at that picture and try to remember what it tastes like.
Because you search Chamber Street and it'll ship it to you in like 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
That's one of the hardest things, I think, because the restaurant markup for wine is something that I personally, as a server, like, find it hard to deal with sometimes, because I know what these bottles, cost.
Right,
so it's
exactly.
like, it kind of sucks to have to want to go out and just like spend the 400%.
It's hard to have an adventure that way.
Exactly.
Right? Particularly if you don't know a lot about wine. Right? Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Or even if you do, I mean, I don't feel like I'm at all an expert on wine, but I can stand on my feet. You know what I mean? But that still doesn't mean that there's not tons out there that I'm completely ignorant to.
Sure.
And I want to dip my toe in that weird Croatian shit that I taste. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, I want to do that, but it's hard to do that at $100 or, whatever it's going to be.
Because the only one they're carrying is the only one you should drink, and the only one you should drink is the most expensive one.
Right.
Exactly. No, so I think Graft is going to open amazing doors for that. But the experience when you come in, it's intended to be a shop where you purchase things, right, and take away. But there's a lot of seating and booths as well, from what I can see. So you want people to chill.
So Graft was inspired by kind of really a classic concept that you see in like Europe and like places like Paris, London. There are, you know, a few in California and New Zealand, Australia. I guess they call this like, you know, cava manger in Paris. And the idea is that you walk into a wine shop and it's like a neighborhood, you know, small wine store, and you know, you can buy a bottle and leave, or they give you the option of maybe like just like a few small tables, you know, off to the side, and you know, you can sit down there and you know, crack open that bottle if you want. They just charge you like 5 or 10 euro, and it's a really cool, just kind of like casual way to enjoy wine. And we kind of took that concept and kind of, you know, made our own little thing out of it.
And that's what I think is so cool, because then you can still buy the bottle at cost, but if you want to sit there and hang in a place that has ambiance, exactly, and chill with your friends, you don't have to go and be like, I'm paying 4 times the price for this. So it's a $15
corkage. It's always that, it's that weird spectrum where like if the people are coming in and it's kind of like, it's new to some people, and like explaining to them, like we had 3 people coming in the night, like, yeah, well, 3 glasses of sparkling wine. I'm like, well, it's $30. Like, you know, buy the glass. And I was like, you can get a better bottle of wine, get an extra glass, and spend the exact same amount of money. And like, I think some people still think that we're trying to like upsell them, and I'm like, no.
Like, I'm actually
losing money here, but I want you to have a better experience. Exactly. Like, this is you get more, it's better. So it, you know.
Well, that's something that cracks me up all the time.
I have to explain that to every single person that walks in the door. It's like, hey, listen, like the prices are very much in your favor if you want to drink here. I'm like, don't do buy the glass. Yeah.
But you guys do buy the glass if somebody wants to try to pop it.
We do have it. And they're fun. But they're just, you know, and easy. They're not.
Everything's picked with intent. Yeah. And it's like, and everything has a place. And obviously being surrounded by so many great restaurants, like there's going to be overflow and people want to come in and kill the time for half an hour and have a glass of wine. So we wanted to pick some stuff out that was affordable and delicious. And that's kind of the intent. But if you're like 3 people, like,
you might as well go for the bottle and pop it there, or take it with you.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, if you want to come in a place like that, is the glass list, how many options are on the glass?
There are about 5.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's super.
It's short and sweet. Solid. Because
it'll probably never be more than 8. Like,
yeah.
I mean, when it's summertime, we'll probably throw a rosé on there, and like, you know, 1 sparkling, 1 or 2 whites, 3 reds, and a rosé, something like that.
Yeah, but that's tight, because how many bottle offerings do you have total? It's a pretty big. Pretty big inventory.
It's growing. I think right now it's around 215.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
we have about 10 wines here.
we have 10.
Yeah.
And we got scared buying that. We were like, this feels like a lot of wine.
We definitely want more.
We were thinking about 8.
Yeah.
Well, no, but
so you guys went to 215.
But they've got really good selections. Yeah. So if you have come to F&B headquarters and like the wine you buy, it's probably a Graft if you can't buy it.
Yeah, that's true. What just happened?
Was that an ad?
Was that an ad for you or for us or for both?
It was an ad for everybody.
That was an ad for all.
No, and I think it's also great that people can come in and talk to you and you know about wine and you understand and you're excited to share. Because I went in and then you guys turned me on to a beautiful bottle of sparkling Malvasia that changed my porch life. In real time.
Yeah.
Like, as I was drinking it, I was like, oh, this is going to happen a lot.
But, and that's the thing, too, is like when someone walks in the door, like, when I shop for anything, I don't really like to be spoken to. And I totally get that. It's like,
Miles shops alone.
I shop alone.
You're in a lone
shop. And I would be scared to come talk to me. But each bottle comes with a tag when you buy it.
This is my favorite. I love this thing.
And it tells you what it is, where it's from, how it's farmed, you know, organically. And then we write a little blurb about it.
So as far as the farming goes, we kind of break it down into, you know, 4 different categories, you know, if applicable, whether it's sustainably farmed, organic, biodynamic, or natural. And that just kind of makes an easy, gives a nice perspective for people that are looking for that, or, you know, wonder if that's even really a consideration with wine. And we like to be honest about, you know, about what's on the shelf, and it keeps us honest too. So,
well, and I think your background is really interesting, because I know you're level 3, right? Am I right about this? Which
for sure.
Is very impressive, and it's incredibly hard to do. And I think for listeners at home that don't know much about wine, if you've seen Somm, it's like a rigorous process to even get to level 3.
It's a nice personal achievement. Yeah, for sure.
It's incredible, but there's also kind of this new, like, you're kind of in two worlds right now where it's, I consider that being like a classically trained song,
yeah,
right?
For sure.
Like you're playing Beethoven if you're a level three.
Yeah.
But you're also super aware of the kind of trend that is the new California wine and all of these things that are like maybe considered imperfect.
The thing I've learned is that, you know, and that's this kind of goes into the concept of graph, but wine is very much like music to me. And I'm a big, fan of music. I've always been around music, as a child. I grew up around some incredible African music, and growing up, I was always looking for stuff. And, I have the same, I think, amount of enthusiasm for wine. And so kind of talking about the two together is, very similar to me. Like, I talk about my favorite wines, like I talk about my favorite musicians or their albums and such. So, yeah, being kind of like geeky is one thing, but being a big fan of what's actually going on is actually just as fun.
Okay, so I've got a wine question.
Oh damn! Phil just broke the mic in front of all of the audience members.
It's okay. I'm a professional.
We're already breaking it down at F&B HQ, y'all.
This is my wine question, and it relates perfectly to your analogy of music.
For sure.
Okay.
I think that was my analogy.
Or Lindsay's analogy. Sorry. Whoever, I just walked in. Okay? I go back and forth philosophically on wine. I go back and forth between these two ideas. The story mattering.
Okay.
And the story not mattering, right? So what I mean by that is sometimes I'm like, just put the juice in my mouth and let me see how I feel about it, right? That's all I care about, right? Sure. Put the juice in my mouth. How do I feel, right? Sometimes I think, now this is outside of what I would say is like being a conscientious consumer,
right.
Outside of like sustainable farming practices and that sort of thing. The wine world really puts a strong emphasis on the story.
Yeah,
totally. The farmer, right. The slopes. Where are they facing the soil? All of these things that do affect the wine.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And I totally get that. But in the analogy of music, when I just hear a song, I don't care about the story. I'm just like,
exactly.
I put it in my mouth, like I put it in my ears.
Yeah.
No,
and
but
I'm just
man.
Like,
no,
yes.
So I can. I absolutely agree with you on that. I've got a little bit of beef with the wine world, and we can get into that.
Oh shit! Y'all heard it here. Fimmy?
Oh my god!
I do too,
and I don't want to say.
That's totally fine. I don't really care.
I like it.
it is what it is. I certainly think that there's a disconnect between people and the wine industry for a reason, right? Why do we always, for the last 20 years, you constantly hear people saying, trying to make wine fun, trying to make wine approachable. Like, why is that still a thing? Why has it not been successful? I always talk about the idea of like the definition of design, right? Design means that something is supposed to work seamlessly, right? So something should, people should be able to approach something and it should just naturally work, right? Mm-hmm. But for whatever reason, I feel like wine, by the definition of design, has failed because people still
don't get it
yeah. And feel some type of way about shopping for wine. And so that means really all attempts that have been made have really just have not been as progressive as they need to be. So we need to reconsider the way we approach and the way we present it, right? So, we talk about like the story with wines. And I think that's kind of a thing that I learned that, certain people want to hear the story and some people just want something that's delicious and it's got the right price point and they want to know that they can be, that they can get that consistently, that experience consistently.
Yep.
So that was something that we wanted to make sure that we did in Graft. So we made sure that all the wines we selected are something that we would bring to somebody's house with no problem. And we made sure that we made communication with the labels and the tags that we designed that you'd be able to find what you're looking for, even if you didn't want to talk to us. And
which is fine.
I love that.
Even
I
if you didn't
that.
Want to talk to us.
We don't have to do this.
Yeah.
We don't
have to do this. Miles talked about tags. Some of them are funny. Some of them are serious. And it kind of creates an experience when you're shopping. Yeah,
it's
and it puts the social media handle for the domain. So the winery gets a shout out. So that's
smart.
If you're looking for the story,
smart.
It says like Matthias and wine or whatever. And you can go check them out. It's got funny hashtags.
And all of them have Miles' phone number on them, right?
Yes, they do.
Like everyone's so great.
So you can text and be like, I hated it, actually.
Yes, indeed.
Turns out I hated it.
I think coming back to the story, there's certain, personally, like there's certain stories I want to hear and there's certain stories I don't want to hear. Like I've worked with wine my entire professional career and it's like all of this, like soil and the slopes and all that stuff is important, but like it doesn't make my experience better. And I think if there's a story about like,
An old man in a thing picking grapes.
Right.
Yeah,
one of the best wines we've had recently in a long time was that Chateau Musard. What was it, 80?
84.
And
it's a great year.
But the story was that it was like the Lebanese Civil War was going on, and the grapes were on the other side of, you know, it was like where the country was kind of split, and it took them like days to get the wine back, so it was like slightly fermenting. And it's just like this story, and it was like, wow, that's like really cool. And I think it's just like anything, like when you go to, you know, if you go to a winery in North Carolina and drink some Scuppernong, and you're like, hey, this is kind of cool. Like I'm on North Carolina, I'm overlooking the vineyard, and then you get home and you drink it, and you're like,
this wine sucks.
Right. Right. Yeah. Yeah. And, see, and I actually disagree. I love the story. I like the romance.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally fine. I'm saying the stories like that are what interests me.
And right.
Like, here's like a perfect example, right?
If someone comes and regurgitates information to me, then that's what I don't want to hear.
Yeah, no, I guess I'm with you. There's that the story.
Like
I think
want something that I can personally relate
story
to.
Story has to be good.
Yeah.
If you're talking to me like something
about hectare, if you say the word hectare, I black out.
But who cares if the story is good? If the wine isn't.
Agree.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, the first thing you have to break down is whether the wine is good or not, right?
Right.
And I think that, you know, sommeliers and wine professionals get so romantic about wine that, you know, sometimes we put people into wines that we're really enthusiastic about that may not be necessarily great for the guest.
True.
And then, you know, when you kind of do this 30-minute story on this wine that's just, like, okay to them, then they're just like, you know, I guess wine people are okay.
True.
You know what I mean? And that's not really great for the industry as a whole. So what I'm more interested in, and Miles too, is we're more interested in getting people excited about wine and just tasting good stuff. Because, you know, I used to do this thing called Man Night at my house, and that's a funny name for a get together with a bunch of guys on a Monday.
Man night.
Pounding around, getting
exactly
nuts with the boys.
And my friends and I, this is when I was studying for the advanced exam, and I'll just order a bunch of wine and I'll just pull corks every Monday, and we just have a good time, right? And I. You know, recently, you know, I was talking to a few of my guy friends. I was like, hey, do y'all remember any of the wines that we've had over the last 5 years? And my friend Joseph goes, oh, hell no.
He's like, nah.
Yeah, like, nah, oh, nah, no. I forgot
but
about all those.
But he goes, it was all good, and I know I got it from you. You know, so, I mean,
that's
something
plan.
I learned. Even, like, people that would come to Charleston Grill and do tasting menus, you know, I don't think that they would remember all the wines they had, but they remember they had a nice time at Charleston Grill, and you know, so they knew where they got it, and they knew that, you know, it, you know, hopefully was worth it as far as how much they spent.
Trust.
Trustful.
Right,
exactly. Yeah.
Hey, listen, I mean, you know I love a trust fall.
It's the experience.
Right. Like, exactly.
Totally, that leaves the mark in the mind.
Yeah.
And it's like, exactly. You know, it's still Charleston, and like if someone from south of Broad walks in and I try and sell them like some Pinot Grigio that's been thrown in a clay pot and buried for a year, like, yeah,
you've got to read your guests.
Yeah,
it's like, and it really is. And I say this, and I still say it. It's kind of like being a DJ, right? Like, you know, if you've got a party of people, right? Like, there are safe bets, and there are things you probably shouldn't play. Like, you know,
smooth jazz.
If I was
electric
having,
slide.
If the answer is
always smooth jazz.
If I was doing like exactly right. If I was doing like the after party for some hip hop concert, I'm not gonna like open up with like Fleet Foxes, right?
Right.
So I mean, you know what I mean? It's like
you might not open with that ever.
Right. Exactly.
I like.
You know,
it.
But you know, if no, it's like a mixed it. Crowd, if it's like a mixed crowd, I mean, you've got like your safe bets. You're gonna put on like Earth, Wind, and Fire, September. Who's gonna hate that?
Nobody.
You know what I mean?
No one.
Literally, no one.
There are, and if you think about wine, it's literally the same way. Like, you know, there are wines where you're just like, man, I mean, everybody will love this, like, you know what I mean? And that there are wines where you're like, this is
that's a
really
out
only
there for somebody.
Right, exactly. And they're, you know,
this Emilio de Pepe
and
gonna be
albums,
a little weird.
There are album music albums that are like, you know, I probably wouldn't put that on for these people, but right, you know, I would probably put this on for these people. And you need to approach wine the same way, you know what I mean? You kind of just need to know what time it's appropriate to put on, you know,
you need to approach
the experimental
Tupac,
Tom Waits
Tupac,
album.
You know what I mean?
It's not for everyone,
in the morning, you know what I mean? Or at a, you know,
I mean,
so
I feel like it's not even not only wine, it's just everything.
Anything.
Yeah. It's like, it's
guys,
how everything should be.
I feel like we're talking about life right now.
We are.
Like,
if you showed up today in a bathing suit, that would
that'd
just
be a little off.
It would just be the wrong place.
So there's the right line.
It's not that bathing suits are bad. It's just the wrong time for the bathing suit.
If you'd given me a whiskey on the rocks, it would have been.
He would have already been in his bathing suit.
That
little been early.
Yeah,
that would have been.
Little early.
That.
Oh, Miles.
All right,
I got another question.
We know who's driving this boat.
Because I think the wine world is in a little bit of a war almost, or two forces that are opposing, like just like Lindsay said, the what I would call like party wine, you know, like natural wine, like orange wine,
chuggable wine,
fun stuff. You know what I mean?
Those are like the two last things that come to my mind when I think party wine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think of like super light-bodied reds that are just like luscious and yummy. And
I think of nothing funky though. Like, you know,
those are like
wine.
Cool kids wines. Cool kid wines.
Yeah, I like to party with that.
Well, you're a cool kid.
Well, you're
like
a cool
not,
kid. But
I'm
when
not
I think
cool
party
kid.
Wine, I'm thinking like pick pool.
Yeah,
like lots of it.
Guzzleable. You know, like, yeah. Okay, so maybe party wine's not the right classification. Okay, the weird geeky stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, is that entering into the psalm world at all? Like, are those being blinded? And I feel like the psalm world is way more traditional. Like, they wouldn't be tasting.
I mean, I think Femi is way more verbose than this, but I think, like, there's. I mean, everyone's aware of it for sure.
No, I know. But aware. I mean, I don't think
but breaching into the non-testable.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, are natural
varietals.
Wines getting, like, blinded by.
No, that's never going to happen.
It's not
because there's no consistency. Okay. Yeah, there's no consistency. There has to be consistency in able to. Test the standard on something. Like, what is the standard? There's so many things happening. So, you know, when you talk about, you know, I mean, but that's weird to say because, you know, some classic wines are just happen to be natural wines, you know? So, you know, talk about like DRC. I mean,
well, that would be like getting tested on your feelings, right? I guess. You know, because I mean,
we know wrong answer.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. So, I mean, I think that, yeah, it's just, it goes into the game again. Like, just because you've had some level of certification doesn't mean that you've got fantastic taste. I know some ways with terrible taste in wine.
I know really rich people that can't dress.
Right? Exactly. Exactly. So I mean like imagine going to school for like, you know, being like a going to like college to be a music DJ. Does that mean that you all of a sudden have great taste because you went to school for it?
Going to culinary absolutely. School. I went to culinary
so
school.
Just because someone's got a green or a red pen doesn't mean they've got great taste in wine. So I mean, look at like, you know, someone like Pascal Lepelletier, or who's got, you know, who's a master, but also is like, you know, I would say a leader in the natural wine movement. I mean, just be you and do you. You know what I mean?
I totally agree.
The pen for me
the wine's
is
good,
something
the wine's
that,
good.
That I do for fun for me, you know. But
and Miles, you have a totally different background in wine than Femi, but nonetheless impressive. You've done a harvest at some really amazing places. The last one was at Oregon, right?
Yeah.
Am I correct in this?
Yeah.
And tell us where you were and what you were doing there.
So it's always, I always think our like backgrounds are pretty funny because Femi and I independently kind of got into wine together, I would say, and went to polar opposite directions.
Yeah. You're like the odd couple of wine. You guys are polar opposites.
So when I left Charleston, I moved to Napa, went to culinary school, but to study wine, and that was like a year. And then I got a job at a winery I shouldn't have gotten. I called them like every day.
It's me again.
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Hey.
It's like I've never
hey
stepped
guy.
Foot in a winery, and I know you only hire 3 people, and like you're one of the best wineries in Oregon. But
And which one was it?
Antica Terra.
Oh, I've heard of them. I've heard of Antica Terra.
It's juice that I can't afford, but
she's amazing though. Like
she's one of the most incredible people I've ever met in my entire life.
She's
shout out.
She's truly amazing, and her wine's amazing.
So finally, it was like I had moved. It was the last day I spent on the West Coast, and I got a call back from them and like, hey, somebody just said they couldn't come. Can you come? And I was like, yeah, I will come and I will scrub toilets.
She was like,
I'll do
everybody failed. Yeah. Where's that guy?
Like, you're the bottom of the list, but. You know what? Like, do you have a car? Can you get here? And I was like, yes.
You were like, I've actually been parked outside of the winery.
I'm here
this whole time.
I'm looking at you right now.
I actually killed those other people that were in line in front of me.
The person
that
didn't
I'm
show
sorry.
Up,
I'm
crawl
sorry.
Space.
So yeah, I got the job and it was supposed to be like a 3-month trip, a 3-month harvest. And then like within a week of getting there, I'm like, well, I'm going to do this for a while. And so did one harvest. And then much to Maggie, my winemaker there's dismay. She was like, whatever you do, like, don't do another harvest in the Southern Hemisphere. It's like, it's not like you're not going to get a good job. Like you're going to work at a bad winery. And, again, kind of serendipitously, I got a job at a great winery in Western Australia. And, it was kind of like the opposite experience. It was a huge, massive winery, like 100,000 liter tanks and like massive tank farms, machine harvested. Like, and it was cool to see both sides of the spectrum because Antica Terra was like literally you look at every single berry that comes by, every single grape, and you're like, it was way more romantic. And I think it really helped me hone in on what I appreciated about the industry. So I kind of flip-flopped back and forth. After Australia, I went back to Oregon, did another harvest in Antica Terra. Then I moved to New York because I've always wanted to work for Danny Meyer. And I worked at the Modern, and that was when their new wine director had gotten hired, Michael Engelman, who's just the man. And then
Shout out Michael Engelman.
Call me.
I know you listen.
Yeah.
I know he's listening right now.
One of our biggest
fans.
He's
so proud.
And then like a year in New York, I was, I mean, Lindsay lasted a lot longer than I did.
Yeah, New York's hard. It's hard. New York eats its young.
I think I was on the L train. I was,
wow. It does. I couldn't hang. I only made it a year.
I was on the L train at like, it was about 9:30.
The L train was running? That's amazing.
Yeah. 9:30. I was on the L train at 9:30 a.m. It had just snowed, and like it was shoulder to shoulder, and people were like coughing right in my mouth. and I stepped off the train, and Maggie called me, and she's like, hey, somebody just dropped out of harvest.
Somebody just died again.
She's like, hey, come back. Like, you don't have to sort any fruit. You can cook all the meals, and you can like pick out all the wine, and you can do all the fun stuff. You don't have to do any of the boring stuff. And I was like, I'll be there in 2 months.
Yeah.
So I left, did one last harvest, realized that winemaking isn't for me. It was kind of like the nail in the coffin. Like I was more interested in cooking dinner for everybody and like hosting everybody than the chemistry and the. It just, I mean,
never cooks me dinner. Tell you what, man.
I cook you dinner all the time.
Ever? I cook you dinner all the time. Just make him dinner.
Hold up. I cook you dinner all the time.
No, but I have to say that I can connect with that story because there's so many romantic ideals. Someone's like, I just want to make wine, or I'm a recovering pastry chef, and people are like, oh, was it just wonderful being a pastry chef? And I'm like,
no,
fuck you. It was hard and long, and no one cared, and it was just no like, money. Yeah. It just sounded romantic, but I wasn't just sprinkling flour on a table.
Making wine with your feelings.
You know? Yeah. And you weren't just crushing grapes and singing someone a song.
No, it's like being up at 5 in the morning
it's grueling.
It's covered in sugar and like fruit flies and I mean but it was but at the same time like it was amazing I still remember the most amazing bottle of wine I've ever had was this like I won't get into the details of it, but it was like out of a styrofoam cup after like a 15-hour shift and watching the sun come up and eating like bagel bites and drinking the champagne.
I love bagel bites.
It's like
perfect pairing for bagel bites. Mm.
It's the experience.
Single vineyard. Right? Single
it's
vineyard.
The experience. You know what I mean?
Bagel
it's
bites experience. And like Leodite Jacques-Solos. Like, yeah. I'll take that any day.
That is a fancy, fancy pairing. I think now with you guys here together, how do you separate the roles given your separate sort of experiences?
I'm the rapper. He's the DJ.
Okay.
I'll take that.
All right.
Okay.
That's a perfect analogy.
That is the perfect analogy. I love it.
No, I think, you know, it's today will be day 7 of being open.
Congratulations.
On the 7th day, they did F&B Radio.
Did you hear all 75 people clapping?
Guys, quiet.
Oh, man.
Quiet.
I see Ja Rule over there. Ja Rule, what up?
Y'all, Jay-Z is here.
Oh, my God, he's late, but he's here.
He's so thoughtful.
Eventually, you guys, for the live audience and everyone, our dream is to have, like, Today Show people on the
signs.
With posters. Like, it's my Gam Gam's 94th birthday, you know, that kind of thing.
Yes. But everyone has a drink in their hand.
It's just our dream.
Listen, maybe dream. I've always wanted to embody that, like, Al Roker vibe.
Yeah. I could see that. I could see that.
Listen.
Who's Matt Lauer?
That's Phil. Phil, okay. You're Matt Lauer.
Okay. Wait a minute.
Wait a minute. Hold
just because I have a mustache.
Hold on.
Okay.
I just totally forgot about Matt Lauer's whole scandal when you said
I am not Matt Lauer.
Not Matt Lauer.
We don't have to market. Right. We don't have to market. It's fine.
I'm seeing like Phil and Lindsay
fine.
Is...
My wife is confident.
Yeah, yeah. Kathy Lee and Hoda.
Yeah, you're Hoda. I'm Kathy Lee.
I don't even know who Hoda is.
Well, you better get to know who Hoda is. She's an American fucking treasure, Phil.
That's true.
I've dreamt about being on the Today Show my whole life. You don't know who Hoda is?
Hoda? Are you guys saying that right?
Phil doesn't watch the Today Show, everybody.
Guys, this just in. Oh, my gosh.
What is that, with a J?
No. Hoda? How
do you I think it's J-O-T-A.
Phil, she's literally an American treasure.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You
I don't
should
watch,
be sorry.
I don't watch whatever she's on.
What?
Read a book.
Don't watch Today Show.
You know.
I remember when I first became friends with like Miles in like the first year that we'd known each other, his mom was actually on the Today Show, and I remember
that's
like feeling
right.
like
she was.
So
oh, my
cool.
God.
Yeah, that was a while ago.
Yeah. Yeah, Miles, you have a lot of famous family members, actually. Your mom is a treasure herself, Tootie. Shout out to Tootie.
What up, Tootie?
Tootie is an angel. No, she's been such a tremendous help, and everyone has. I mean, Carrie.
Are you going to tell us her name and what she does?
Well,
shout
Callie
out to your
White
mommy.
Is the, I guess, one of the founders of Callie's Biscuits and the little hot little biscuit thing that's going on here in Atlanta.
I was going to say that little thing that has a line on
man.
The jar.
It's a small operation that my sister has grown into like a huge empire. But I remember being one of her first employees. And we had this, we had a little bakery next to the Church's Chicken in between Commodore and where it is now. But this is like 13 years ago. And it was like, you know, you park in the back, you lock the door, and you go in and you pull the blinds down because it was not the best part of town back then. It was still like 13 years ago. And it was me and a bunch of my friends from high school. And my sister would be like, you got to get here at 8 a.m. We got to make 1,200 biscuits today and we got to get them in the freezer. And we'd show up at like 10:30, usually hungover. And a lot of my friends who remain unnamed would just go, you know, go smoke weed in the walk-in freezer, and we'd keep beer in there.
She told that story Snitch. At Fab, by the way.
Okay, yeah. Well, then it's no right. secret.
She did. She was. That's what she said. That's
I was a great, perfect
employee. Miles out here snitching on the radio.
God
tell you
damn,
what,
Miles.
Hey, mark that shit, Miles. No. God, he's not saying anything.
You know who you are. You know who you are.
She was like, that's when we knew we were going to make it, when all these, my brother and all of his stoner friends came in and ate all the biscuits.
Hey, it doesn't matter. The work got done, and then at the end of the day, we'd have...
There's a little shake in all the biscuits that first year, and that was
you
fine.
Obviously, when you cut the biscuits, there's a ton of dough left over, and we'd make these just like massive...
I've heard about this.
We'd roll them out, we'd roll the dough out, and it would just be like this big circle of biscuit dough. We'd walk next door, and we'd go to churches covered in flour, and like we'd get all the chicken, mashed potatoes, gravy, like everything, and we'd just basically throw it all into the middle of the biscuit roll, and we roll it up.
Wow. Sounds amazing.
And then we cover it in butter, and then we bake it.
Stoner Stromboli? Is that what that is?
It was amazing. If you ever are near a church of chicken in a mountain of biscuit dough, definitely.
Callie's biscuit dough.
Okay, perfect.
Okay, now we have to do this all together.
I think we should do a pop-up.
It'd be a great video.
And we can just,
get like
a
the
giant
big thing,
and biscuit
like,
roll.
Put it on a big like table. At midnight, we're going to cut into this.
Can we get a gear done? You could pull out your Charleston Grill vibes.
Fuck the Wine and Food Festival party. Like, this is going to be the jam right here.
This is going to be way better than a 700-pound
tuna. Like saber champagne and cut through this like massive biscuit.
That sounds magical to me. It's fried chicken champagne. They meant to be together.
Right? Exactly.
But, I think being there from the beginning and seeing what she's grown into and how much she's done given her busy life, and it's been inspiring, and she's been such a help. And I think my mother's been in the space every single day.
I heard she was there handing out cheese straws, some little delicious snacks.
She's handing out snacks.
She's out there every day.
Polishing glassware.
Oh my God.
She's just a family business.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to a commercial break. And then when we come back, we're going to get you guys to Graf so you can get it open. We're running late, but we're doing it.
That's on us.
Commercial. Do you want to work in a winery, but you're kind of lazy?
I'm so sleepy.
I love grapes, but farming is hard.
Ugh, it's really making me tired. And my hands are always dirty.
I don't like that.
No, I...
What can we do about this?
I think you can... There's a new service that I heard about. And it's something that's kind of revolutionary where you can work in these wineries and actually, like, quote-unquote farm, but it's all hydroponic, so you're just in the air conditioning.
That's nice.
I can wear just, like... Carhartt overalls and a really cool beanie, but I don't actually have to go outside.
You can get cute. Yeah, totally.
Tight.
Oh, yeah. You can, like, your makeup won't run, but you can still, like, pick all the grapes and do all the stuff, but in the comfort of a climate-controlled building.
And then you also get to, like, pick your own hours, you know? So it's like, if you just want to work for, like, 2 hours
just
in the morning, that's cool.
I just feel like 10:30 to 4:30 is my pocket.
That's really when I feel like I can handle it. Like, that kind of thing.
That's where I'm most productive. So then after that, I just stop.
Yeah, and then at the end of it, you can still say, like, yes, I'm a winemaker. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Hands-on farmer.
Hands-on farmer. Is the space Instagrammable?
Oh, my God. It's so Instagrammable. There's all these beautiful places for you to take pictures, just, like, drinking juice, doing your
thing. Pick and touching grapes.
Selfie sticks by, like, every vineyard, you know?
Is there, like, a small goat I could pet?
Oh, my God. You can do some goat yoga on your break.
What?
So great. It's just we call it the winemaking simulation system. System. What is it?
I'm a winemaker kind of.
I'm a winemaker kind of system.
I'm pretty much a farmer.
Yeah. And if you just go to it, you can like sign up for it, show up, put it on your resume, and you know, get out there in the world.
You can even be on that farmer's dating site.
You don't have to farmers be lonely.
Farmers only.
Farmers only. If you would like to advertise on FNB Radio, please email us at fnbradio@gmail.com.
That's so true. And if you want to put your I'm a farmer kind of on our commercial, then you just email us at fnbradio@gmail.com. That's fnbradio@gmail.com to put your I'm a farmer kind of on our
commercial.
And we're back. Miles Fimmy,
that was
you
great.
Guys.
That was a really nice commercial.
Thank you.
It's thoughtful.
Brilliant.
We're just hustling.
You guys are hustling. We're excited to come and see you. If you are in Charleston,
get to Graft.
Currently blowing up for a wine destination.
Yeah.
It's really an exciting time.
What's the address, guys?
700 King Street.
On the nose.
Wow, nice and even. Nice round number.
Every time someone asks us about this one, we always are like,
we're not
15,
sure.
23.
We don't know.
But just King Street Cousins is what we are.
King Street Cousins.
But get to Graft.
Yeah.
You don't have to talk to Miles and Femi because there's tags on the wines. But if
but
you
I mean,
do,
why wouldn't you want to talk to us?
I recommend it.
Hey,
I don't know if y'all have seen them. But combined.
Real handsome.
They're 25 feet tall. So
that's right.
It's a lot of man. Treat yourself.
Oh my God. Get in there, buy some wine, learn about some stuff, listen to some cool gems. That's a huge part of,
their
part
music,
of the restaurant.
The vibe in there.
That's right.
Can I ask you a question? Do you play the entire album?
We play entire albums.
That's what I'm talking
that's
about.
That's what
something
I'm talking
that's
about.
Very
if you start albums. An album, we play to the end.
Even
you
know, if it's smooth it jazz.
Y'all better stop now. Y'all better stop.
Finny just got so serious.
Don't encourage Miles White now.
I know what I'm mopping to today.
Guys, I can't tell you how many times I've been Michael Bolton for Halloween.
Just because of the hair,
you should see me. Me holding like an oboe.
You just get pigeonholed to be Michael Bolton every
Michael
Halloween.
Bolton. Jesse Spano. Okay, I'm just going for all of the curly headed.
Curly
Sue.
I've been there. Curly
Can we do like a 2-hour episode today and I just get another beer?
Sure.
Miles is really comfortable.
I'll just go open up Graft.
Now I see how the roles are divided in terms of
exactly.
the business. You guys have been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you to our live audience.
Thank you to our live studio audience.
What a beautiful
job. Thank you all for coming through.
Charter
yes, sir.
Members.
Yeah, let's all go to Graft right now. We can ride together.
That sounds
good.
That sounds
great. We'll help them up. And you can rate us on iTunes. You can do it.
It's a thoughtful thing.
I'm not sure how it helps, but apparently it helps.
Apparently it helps.
I don't know why.
If you want to keep these commercials fake, just holler at your friends.
Free and shitty.
Just made up bullshit.
Just half-assed, really, really late commercials.
But stamps.com, I'm looking for you.
Yeah, we're totally
I know it's
down.
Coming. White whale.
I believe in us. And hang in there. We'll see you next
week.
When
are you open until tonight?
Oh, yeah, we should say our hours.
Oh, guys, by the way, F&B
headquarters is open every day but Monday, 5 to midnight. Last night we had a hot ham and cheese.
Tonight there's going to be cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers.
Cheese and crackers.
That's right.
We're making snack.
Okay.
we're making one snack.
I need snack.
Make a snack.
Snack is thoughtful.
Wine, beer, and snack.
Cocktail specials.
Booze are on.
Nose booping.
Nose booping. All the things. Come in and hang out with us. Why don't you buy a bottle of wine at Graft and then come buy a bottle of wine here and then we'll all have a party.
That sounds like a plan.
Yeah. I love it.
Tell your friends. Graft early and then we can come to F&B headquarters.
Shut it down. What time do you guys close?
Whenever we want.
What time do you open?
No, it does.
Miles like, none of your business.
No, but it does
Miles
say shotgun five to
late. Be like, never.
To 2000 and late.
I think last night we were out at 11:45.
All right, so you can still come in here and catch the last
exactly.
minute.
Exactly. Get off of your shift at work, come through, grab a bottle, say what's up, give us a dab.
Dude,
there it is.
I love it. And I love you guys. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having
You're
us.
Wonderful.
What a treat.
Thank you.
Oh, my God. Nikki Fairman, thanks for being on the show.
Oh, Lindsay Marie Collins, you are a thoughtful person.
That is
thanks for having a podcast.
I do what I can. Philip Michael Cohen.
I'm still hot, but I don't know. Is it going to go down? It's Am I going to relax?
Well, like,
this was fun.
Physically and physically.
He's just hot-blooded. Wow.
What's happening now?
I have a fever of 103.
What's going on now? I thought we were just wrapping it up.
Miles is getting another beer.
Matt Lauer, man.
Oh, okay.
Market with the Matt Lauer.
Jesus Christ. Unbelievable. All right, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.